The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "For that reason I tell you, stop worrying about your life, about what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Certainly life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no warehouse or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Since you are not able to do this little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not constantly chase after what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not be worried about it. To be sure, the nations of the world chase after all of these things, but your Father knows that you need them. Instead, continue to seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old, a treasure in the heavens that will not fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first article of the Creed says, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." One of the most important parts of my job is to teach this. What does it mean that God is the maker of heaven and earth? A couple of years ago, I started to change the way that I teach this. For the first 10 years or so of being a pastor, I really focused on what happened long ago. For all of us, I think, when we hear the word creation, we think of stuff that happened a long time ago. Bible-believing Christians then immediately think about how what happened long ago, creation, how that is different from the teaching of evolution. God created the world. Existence is not the product of chance or the survival of the fittest. I used to focus mainly on combating this alternate understanding of evolution, which is so powerful and persuasive in today's world. But a couple of years ago, I started to shift my energy and my focus toward a different aspect of God being the maker of heaven and earth. My teacher in this was our humble little catechism. You might recall what it says. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And what does this mean? "I believe that God has made me." There you have something that is not in the past. It's right now. God has made me. How often do you think of that? God has made you. Probably not that often. We are very thoroughly trained to think of ourselves as being the result of an egg and sperm and a whole bunch of natural processes. We just kind of show up. How different it is to think of God the Father Almighty wanting you to exist and deliberately bringing it about. Our catechism goes on. "He has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them." God made you. God gave you your body. That's a great gift. So often we think of our bodies with a tremendous harshness. Our bodies don't measure up to other bodies that we see. Our bodies are ugly compared to others. Many of us then come to hate our bodies, and that's a shame. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Your body is a gift from God, and it's wonderful. Even if your body were to become severely disabled, with many of its parts ceasing to function, it would still be wonderful. It's God's gift to you, and your body is even a gift to all of us. God gives you the gift of your soul, your reason, your senses, your personality. What a gift this is, too. You can see and understand. You can laugh and cry. You can be a blessing and make others around you happy by virtue of the way that you are. Unfortunately, here too, it is common for people to trash this part of themselves. They wish that they were smarter. They wish that they were funnier. They wish that they were more outgoing. It's as though we are taught that there is only one right way to be. There is one right body that everybody is supposed to have. There's one right personality. We're all supposed to be smart, charming, funny, talkative, cool, popular, and so on. When we're not all of these things, and frankly, nobody can be all of these things, we conclude we suck. The spirit that causes us to run ourselves down like that is not a good spirit. Evil spirits do not want us to be joyful. They most especially do not want us to be thankful. How long has it been since you praised your Creator for making you, for giving you your body and your soul? These are tremendous expressions of love from God to you. We should thank and praise Him. It is good and right so to do. But the evil spirits do not want us to be thankful. They want us to be covetous. Coveting is when you are dissatisfied with what God has given to you and you see what has been given to others and you want that, what others have. Your body sucks because there are others who have better ones. Your mind sucks because there are others who are smarter. Your personality sucks because you're not as popular. Supposedly, this coveting, this dissatisfaction with oneself, can bring about something positive if you do it right, but I'm not so sure. Maybe the best case scenario with this dissatisfaction with yourself is that you can work up such a hatred of yourself, of how bad you are, that you embark on a ruthless self-improvement campaign. You diet, you study, you read books about how to be charming. But even this best case scenario isn't very good. Let me tell you a secret. There's no end to the coveting. You might think you'd be happy if you were only such and such a weight. You might think that you'd be satisfied if you got such and such a reward or recognition. Nope. You'll keep coveting. You'll keep hating yourself for not being as good as you name it. But this is not so much self-hatred as it is hatred for your Creator. You might think that you're hating yourself, but really you're hating the one who made you the way that you are. You've become blind to His goodness. You're deaf to the messages of love that He gives you, the gifts that He gives you with your wonderful body and with your wonderful soul are His messages of love. And there are more messages of love. Our catechism goes on. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. I mentioned already how we're prone to think of ourselves as the uniting of sperm and egg and a whole bunch of natural processes so that we just kind of show up by accident. We do the same kind of thing with this list of things that have to do with supporting this body and life. We don't think of our clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home as coming from God. We don't think of these things that we are given as messages of his love to us. We think of them as coming about because of our money. We have money, it's thought, because we work hard and we're smart. And if we worked harder and were smarter, then we'd have even more money. Maybe if we just worried more, if we could just get to the bottom of things for why we don't have more money, then we'd have a lot more money. And with more money, we'd have even better clothing and shoes, tastier food and drink, more comfortable house and home. What we need is more money. We don't need God. We need more money. And the same evil spirits are behind this as was behind our abusive talk about ourselves. That evil spirit said, "You don't need God. You need a smoking hot body. You don't need God. You need to be more popular. You don't need God. So here, you need more money." And what's the action plan with this evil spirit behind all these things? We've already mentioned it. You need to be hard on yourself. You need to worry more. You need to worry more about your lousy body, so that you finally work up the self-hatred to do something about it and make a better one. You need to worry more about your lousy personality. You need to worry more about your lousy, shameful house and your ugly, junky car and your miserable, dead-end job that isn't getting you nearly the amount of money that you should be getting. And then the conclusion, then you'll be happy. These evil spirits say, the more you worry, the harder you'll try, and the happier you'll be. What incredibly different advice we are given by our Lord and Master, Jesus, this morning. Over and over and over and over and over, he says, don't worry. The opposite. Don't worry about clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home. That's the opposite of what we're supposed to do. We're taught to never be satisfied, never to give up, but always to be worried, always chasing more and more. There's another thing that's the opposite too, and this also, I think, is highly significant. Jesus says that you are valuable. Consider the ravens, he says. God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? And again, consider the flowers. You're more valuable than they are. It is because you are valuable to God that you should not worry. What do you do with those things that you treasure, that you care about? Don't you protect them and make sure that they're all right? You are valuable, Jesus says. God values you, and so won't he also take care of you, O you of little faith? That has to be the conclusion. If God values you, then he has to take care of you. But you might be saying to yourself, I'm not valuable. And how powerful this thought is. The evil spirits certainly do not want you to believe anything different. They want you to believe that with your whole heart, and they want you to believe this forever and ever, if that's possible. They want you to believe that you suck. End of story. But it's not just the evil spirits here. The thought that you are not valuable is powerful also because there are some very powerful arguments that seem to prove just that. We've done some terrible things. We've perhaps stretched our bodies with poor eating so that it will never come back into shape. We've perhaps pickled our bodies with drink, but our drinking has had an even worse effect on our souls, not just our bodies. These sins and others like them are obvious to anyone and everyone. The damage is obvious, but there's more. There's also God's commandments that we've broken. The problem that's created by not keeping God's commandments is not as obvious to folks. They don't think it's that big of a deal, but our breaking of his commandments is even more powerful of a reason for us to say to ourselves that we're not valuable. But how you value yourself is one thing, and how God values you is another. You might not see value in yourself, but you're not the only one who gets to have a say. There's somebody who's better at appraising than you, and that someone is God. He valued us even when we were dead and lost in our trespasses and our sins. His value, his love of us, prompted him from eternity to send his son to suffer and to die to redeem our poor bodies and souls. There is no one for whom Christ didn't die, so there is no one who isn't redeemed. All are valued by God. Since all are valued by God, you are valued too. Because God values you, you should not worry. God will give you your clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, and all that is necessary to support this body and life. We could go even one step further, perhaps, following Jesus' advice if we dare. He says, sell your possessions and give to those who have need, but that might be a little too advanced for us right now. We'll get there eventually, but we have some rewiring to do. We need to think differently in our daily life. We are prone to keep God far, far away in our thinking in daily life. We think, well, we don't need God. Actually, we don't even think that. But we don't need God. We need a smoking hot body. We don't need God. We need more money. Those are the things that we think of. What we need, in fact, is God. Then all these other things are just going to come as a matter of course. So, very practically speaking, what should you think about? The first thing I want you to bring to mind this week is that you are valuable to God. Set aside any self-hatred. What you think of yourself is really beside the point. Who cares what you think? What matters is what God thinks. And God says you're valuable to him. You're so valuable to him that he sent his son to redeem you. You are valuable to him, so he will take care of you. Jesus very emphatically teaches this in our gospel reading today. The other thing I want you to think about is that God is sending you messages of love all the time, every day. Let the sunshine and the nourishing rains speak to you that God loves you. Think of this with all the pleasures of life. He gives you this little pleasure and that. Let the pleasure of food be understood as God's gift to you. Let the pleasure of drink, even or perhaps especially alcoholic drink, be understood as God's gift to you. Remember that the goal of the evil spirits is to banish God from your thinking. Doesn't want you to think of God at all, but only about your cravings. Instead, open your eyes to the wonders of everyday life and be thankful to your Creator. Thankfulness is the antidote to coveting. Coveting is when you look at what God has given to you and you're so dissatisfied with it, and you look at what's given to others and you wish that you had that. the antidote to this extremely powerful spiritual poison. It is extremely powerful. It destroys people. The antidote to this is thankfulness. Thankfulness comes from correctly understanding God giving you, God's messages to you, first and foremost and most clearly in his gospel, that he loves you and values you, but also in the good things that he gives to you. So finally, to sum up, so that you don't forget, number one, you are valuable to God. You with your body and soul are valuable, regardless of what you might think of yourself. And two, God gives you messages of his love. Recognize those messages of his love every day with the good things that he gives to you. Listen for that message from God and be glad that he is your creator. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.